Religion has many victims, and these are the stories of how they survived. Welcome back to the Awakening Podcast, a space where we peel back the layers of rigid faith, inherited beliefs, and the systems that shaped us, and step into something truer, freer, and our own. Every week, we invite voices who have walked through the fire of indoctrination, identity, loss, and rebirth. People who know what it means to question the story they were handed and choose themselves instead.
And hi, I'm Tamara. Here, we hold space for the messy middle, the unraveling, the breakthroughs, the quiet moment of clarity, and the courage it takes to rebuild your worldview from ground up. No shame, no judgment. Just truth, humanity, and the deep, raw honesty that lives underneath it all.
Today, we're honored to welcome a guest who has walked a complex path through belief, identity, and personal transformation. Someone who has faced loss, pressure, expectation, and spiritual influence, and still found a way toward self-understanding and resilience.
We are grateful to have you with us, Hal. Thank you for trusting us and being willing to share your story in this space of the awakening.
Welcome in, Hal. It's so good to have you here this morning. How are you doing today?
I'm well, Heather. How are you doing? It's good to see you on a Sunday morning, just awake and freshened.
Yes, and it
is
always
Sunday. I was going to say the same thing. Snap. It's always wonderful when we're spending our Sunday morning doing things positively together, one pulpit at a time of dismantling.
Absolutely.
Oh, yes.
I actually had posted on Threads this morning, you know, I'm in the studio today, and Sundays around here aren't for church. They are actually for exposing all of the harm that religion causes, because religion has many victims, and we love to elevate the stories of how it is that they survived. So saying that, we're going to start asking you some questions, Hal. To begin, what feels most important for listeners to understand about where it is that you are at on your journey right now, Hal?
I think it's important for listeners to understand that I am currently moving past the deconstruction process and into the freedom process of liberation from church theology and church indoctrination of religion.
So tell us a little bit about yourself. What would you like our listeners to know today?
Okay. Well, I was born in Russia in 1996, December of 1996. I'm getting ready to turn 29 in December. Okay. Thank you. The 27th, I'll be 29. I came to the States at 22 months. I was raised by my mom and dad. My mom passed away in 2015 from ovarian cancer. I went to college at Clemson University, and then I came down here to South Florida, where I attended medical school for 2 years, and I was hit by an 18-wheeler. And that caused a traumatic brain injury and 5 disc herniations. And I'm going to have to restart medical school after I finish my master's degree that I'm currently enrolled in.
Wow.
So that's kind of where I am now. And I excluded all the church drama from all of that.
How did your early environment shape the way you learned to see yourself or understand who you were allowed to be?
Well, my early environment, I was ostracized because I was gay. And I'm gay, and people around me always seemed to be distant from me because my dad always said, little boys won't want to be your friends if you're gay, which was horrific and mean for him to say that about me. And that's that. And, you know, that kind of shaped where I am now, where I'm still confused about my sexual identity. And the church preyed on that big time. And had me so confused, I was almost psychotic. It was absolutely terrible.
What message, spoken or unspoken, did you internalize early or about your identity, expressions, or a belonging? When did you realize that you were different? Elaborate on that for the guest listening.
Okay. Probably about 13 to 15 years old, I realized that I liked guys. I didn't like females. But my dad always wanted me to watch videos about females, if you know what I mean. I'm not going to name the name of what that is, but
yeah.
Everybody knows what that is. Everybody does that nowadays. It is what it is. And it just didn't turn me on. I just never felt attracted to females, ever. And I always felt like it was an abomination to God, and I would go to hell for it. And who wants to be tortured endlessly forever? So I'm kind of like trying to rekindle the two, and there's no kindling the two, in my opinion. So, it's either the Bible's wrong, or it's misinterpreted, or it's completely just that God is completely evil, one of the three. So I don't know. I don't know.
You
Go
kind of
ahead.
took my breath away a little bit there when you said that your dad was having you watch things, because that's an awful young age to for that to occur.
Well, it was, he would give me Playboy magazines and things like that.
I mean, I
And
understand, but it's just like so sad that parents just can't accept exactly who you are and be okay with it.
I know.
So when
I
life
understand.
began like throwing really intense challenges your way, what helped you keep moving forward even when things felt really overwhelming?
Just the fact that there is a higher power out there that I could relate to, kind of, and that this higher power just is there and is in control of everything. And it's not the God of the Bible. It's just a higher power that just exists out there that a lot of AA and NA teaches about. And just that he or she or it or they or them is in control and I'm not. So I just kind of put my faith there and didn't look back.
So instead of putting your faith in a God that wanted to subjugate you and strip you of your identity, you found a spiritual path that was more meaningful to you outside of the constraints of that faith.
That's correct.
That is beautiful. I love that for you so much. I really do, because breaking free from, that indoctrination is not easy.
No, it's not.
And in those moments when your body or your mind felt overloaded, what helped you stay grounded, and maintain stability?
Just interacting with other gay people, that helped me. My aunt is very supportive of me. She's lesbian and she's a sweetheart along with her wife, and they were very helpful to me. And those type of things, just being around people of like-mindedness, understanding that there's that being gay is okay, and that there's conservative gay people, there's liberal gay people, there's it they're just people. That's all it is. It's your identity. And I believe it comes in the womb where you're exposed to testosterone and estrogen. If you have too much testosterone, if you're a female, you could become lesbian, and too much estrogen with a male, you could become homosexual. I mean, gay. So, like, that's what I think. But science is showing it's genetically related. And then you have Christians saying that God can reverse the genetics and everything. I'm like, oh my God, come on, people.
No, because listen, why are Christians making all these gay kids then? Come on, let's be so for real. Like, my parents were straight as they come, and I am as bisexual as they come. So why are all these straight parents making all these queer kids? And then they want to kick us out because they made something they didn't like. They really are following after their
Oh
God.
yeah, my dad literally basically kicked me out of the house when I was like 19. I came out and gave me my portrait and everything. He didn't give me my portrait, he just took my portrait down out of the house, and it really hurt my feelings. So yeah, it was really, really traumatizing, but yeah.
That's
Yeah.
crazy.
It's those little things as ex-Pentecostal people, right? That we know how important pictures are and memories are that are on the wall. And for some reason, every person I've met that has been ex-Pentecostal has said exactly what you have said. The moment my pictures were removed from the walls, that like hurt the most. It was like they were erasing you.
Yep.
And that stings really deep.
Yes, it did. It really hurt me a lot. But that's how my dad is and still is. We haven't talked in 4 years. So, yeah, but that's how it is. I still love him. I don't hate him, but he holds grudges and can't let things go. So that's on him, not on me. So.
I have no contact with my father as well. I haven't spoken to him in probably 3 years now, and it's the same thing. He's a bigoted, homophobic, racist pastor, and he's harmful. He is just a harmful human being. and he won't own up to any of the harm
Right.
that he caused while we were growing up, all the trauma that he inflicted upon us and the abuse. And it's like, you can't be in relationship with somebody like that, right? Because he's still a harmful person. And here I am having to heal from the things that he did. And then people are like, well, he's your dad. You need to forgive him. Why would I do that? I don't want him to hurt me more. I don't want to have to go unpack more of the shit that he's doing to me in therapy. I'm not allowing him access to hurt me like that anymore. That's crazy.
And I have been a no contact for almost 30 years. And I, in August, went back to the very church. And my family was inside that church, my dad, my mom, my nieces, nephews, brothers, and sisters. And only two siblings spoke to me. And my mom and dad left through the side door and would not even speak to me with me standing inside the church.
Wow.
So I get it.
Wow.
So
Yeah.
you spoke a little bit about, you have a higher power. So I'm curious is how your understanding of spiritual authority evolved over time.
So I went from, this is insanity. I grew up Presbyterian, but I never really cared about going to church. Going to church was a chore. My mother was a devout Christian and she's deceased, and that was the way she wanted to go. That's fine. However, I'm not that way, but I grew up and I'm kind of like, okay, the God thing, the Jesus thing, it is what it is. Say the sinner's prayer, say the Apostles' Creed. It just was a chore for me going to church. And then when I left home and I went to college, I felt free and I did was atheistic at that time. And when I was atheistic, I was having a good time and did not care. And then I moved down here to Florida. The first year was okay. And then 2021, when I was smashed by the 18-wheeler, that's when everything went down south for me. Quite literally down south. And that's when I met these two people at a Christian bookstore, and it kind of goes from there. And that's when my OCD, my BPD, my bipolar all just sparked out. And they fed on the religion, and it was just a match made in hell, quite literally.
Now,
So it's something to deconstruct.
were they a part of, was that when you became Pentecostal? Was that your first intro to being Pentecostal?
Yes, and
Okay.
it wasn't Pentecostalism at that time, it was charismatic.
Okay.
But it's all the same stuff,
It
different
is.
flavor. I
It is.
mean, seriously, it's the same stuff. I mean,
The
they
only
believe in.
difference is how extreme is this one from the other one, right? Really, that's the only
Exactly.
difference.
I did attend Pentecostal churches, so.
Right. And we always, for those of us who were like apostolic Pentecostal, right, which is like the most right-wing rigid, we would always consider those who are charismatic kind of like, borderline backsliders.
Oh, wow.
You have it, but just not enough. And
Right, you're not
backslider was.
anointed just enough, you
And
know, to.
backslider was such a universal term for us because we could use that for anybody that we wanted to write off. Like, you want to write somebody off, you just have to say they're a backslider. That's all.
Right. They could
Exactly.
have what we have, but they just don't want to yield to
Yes. Yes.
Jesus.
Yes.
What was it like, to begin listening to your own inner voice, especially if that voice was conflicting with how you were being taught?
Are you referring to after the 18-wheeler tractor trailer accident?
Yes, or
Well,
at
after
any
that
time.
accident, I had a traumatic brain injury and I was hearing voices like outside of me, like footsteps and all this stuff that I thought was demonic, and it scared the ever-living daylights out of me. People around me thought I was nuts, but like if you have a TBI and you have traumatic brain injury, that can actually cause you to hear voices. Like that's an actual thing. So clinically proven. So I couldn't help it. And people who were around me should know that, if you're trying to be doctors, you know. But no, it wasn't good enough for them. They always picked on me and things like that. And that's okay. They have to live with that the rest of their life. But anyways, I went to the bookstore, right? And I was listening to Christian music. And before that, I'd had deliverances where demons were supposedly being removed from me. And I went to this Christian bookstore and I met these two people, and they both had the same name, and they were very nice to me. And I showed them a picture of me with kind of like my veins constricted in my face, and they said I had a demon, and it freaked me out. And I had an exam the next day. I'm like, okay, do I want to go to this book? Do I want to go to this Bible study they're inviting me to? Or do I want to stay for this exam? Well, I decided to go to the Bible study, right? And for 6 hours, they had me on the floor, removing demons, casting them out in Jesus' name,
Oh.
saying they prayed out the COVID vaccine off of me.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Yeah, I know. They prayed off the COVID vaccine off of me, which obviously didn't work. All kinds of stuff. I think they meant well. I really do. These people did anyway. For that period of time, because they kind of like got me into that cult. But as time went by, things began to change. I was told I was not teachable, things of that nature. But go ahead.
Oh no, you can continue to speaking if you would like. It's perfectly okay.
Okay, well, I'll continue.
Yeah.
So basically, winter 2022, I was in and out of this group of people, and then they introduced me to this church. I'm not going to say the name of the church, but it's a church in Pembroke Pines, and they also did deliverances on me, and they were nice at first, same kind of thing. And then I met this person who called herself my spiritual mother and her husband, who were both pastors, and they were nice to me at first. So I don't know if you're kind of, the listeners are kind of getting the point of view I have, but everything at first was hunky dory, nice, okay, wonderful. And I was completely like anti-abortion. I was completely anti-gay. I was completely anti this, anti that. And it runned people away from me. And I lost all my friends at that school I was at that I no longer attend. I'm going to another school, but I withdrew because my back was just killing me. I had to have surgeries. But that's beside the point. The point is, it was good at first. And then as time went on for this 2 year period of time, it got bad, very fast.
That seems to be the way cult-like churches behave. They love on you. If you don't have a job, they have a job. If you don't have a house, they have housing. If you don't have clothes, food, babysitters, they supply all of that. The only thing you have to do is start aligning with what they teach. Your hair must be cut a certain way. If you're a man, it can't touch your, collars. You have to do this and you need to do that. And it's all in accordance to being godly and holy. But what you don't know is that you're exchanging your freedoms for their way of life.
Exactly.
Right. So, was there a moment or a series of moments when you sensed something wasn't aligned anymore? Like, this just isn't right.
Well, I was told I wasn't teachable and to submit to my pastor. And I didn't like that because I was always like, I thought you're supposed to submit to God, not your pastor.
Ooh, yes.
And don't speak. And they always gave examples of people who spoke against their ministry. This is the spiritual parents I had who spoke against their ministry and then something bad happened to them, to the people who spoke against their ministry. And
Yeah.
they would always quote the scripture, do not touch my anointed.
Oh,
Or touch my
yeah,
anointed
it's no
not.
harm.
Or
Yes.
touch my anointed not. Or something
Yep.
like that in the scriptures. I don't, I
Think of
think that's
it,
Old Testament.
Jeremiah.
Yes, in
Yeah,
the
I was
Old
going to say
Testament.
Jeremiah. If nothing else, we were taught to quote that scripture with everything. I have friends to this day that are don't even go to the church, and when I say something, they'll be like, "Don't touch his anointed and do the prophets no harm." And I'm like, "You've got to be kidding me." But
Right.
anyways, I get it.
It's not just, it's not like you're going out there hurting people. I mean, you're just speaking against their cult, and it scares you when you had all this spiritual stuff going on that you've actually seen to know things are very real, and it scares you to think that that God would do that to you. Well, I've spoken against that ministry multiple times, sometimes using words I shouldn't use, and nothing happened to me yet, anyway. So,
And I'll never forget the first time I left the church, right? I was 27 years old before I said my first curse word. And I went out to the ocean, just right there behind the breakers in West Palm Beach.
gosh.
And I screamed to the top of my lungs,
I don't know. Can I say it? Fuck. And as I'm screaming the words into the wind, I'm looking at the sky to see if I'm going to get struck by lightning. And when nothing happened, and I swear to God, this is a true story, the only thing I could keep repeating was that word. And then I just hit the sand sobbing, like, oh my God, nothing's happening to me. And it was just like a moment of freedom. You know, it was like a moment of rebellion, but it was so empowering because I didn't know I could say words without being struck by lightning.
Yep, it's all superstition.
Do you want to explain how your journey has changed?
Absolutely. I have just gone into spirituality, deep into spirituality, and kind of examined the different kind of paths that there are. And my journey is kind of unique in the way that my path is carved in a way where I kind of just believe in liberation and, do what thou will and freedom and no submission to pastors or any of that stuff. And it also involves cutting off Christian contacts who are toxic. Now, not all Christian friends of mine are toxic. But the ones who were in the cult and the ones who judged me and say, oh, well, the devil's doing this, the devil's doing that, I just cut them off because I don't want to hear it. And the thing the church loves to do is use the devil as a scapegoat. Oh, I stubbed my toe, the devil did it. Oh, I went out, I used drugs, the devil made me do it. Oh, I just cheated on my husband, the devil made me do it.
I actually literally saw somebody I used to go to church with was arrested for, harming children.
What?
And his parents and my in-laws, because they went to church with his parents, were literally blaming his actions on the devil. He was deceived. That's why he did this, because they can't sit with the reality that their son is a pedophile. So they would rather
Oh
blame
my
the
God.
devil than hold their son accountable for being a disgusting monster. But those same people will point the finger at the LGBTQIA plus community and call them groomers and rapists and everything else when we know the data proves that to be 100% false.
Exactly.
It's just
And
frustrating.
And I have yet, I know people are people, but the people inside high-controlled religions are there for more than just to be God-fearing men and women. I honestly believe that they are there purposely because whatever way of life they want to live, they get to hide behind a god and/or a devil. And they use it to weaponize it against the rest of the world, because the louder you yell or the louder you scream, look at them, look at them, look at them. When you're pointing one finger at the rest of the world, everybody forgets that there's four pointing back at you.
So what feels, to you that is chosen in your worldview now versus, rather than being an inherited or imposed belief that you would have gotten from your family?
So what do you think the beliefs I've kind of made or believed or subscribed to? So I believe that, that God, I'm just going to say the word God, a creator God, created the universe and created humans. And in Genesis 3, it talks about the fall of man, right? It talks about that serpent in the Garden of Eden. It talks about the humans there. What if that God there was trying to control them and the serpent was trying to give them wisdom and show them everything? And I thought about that. And I'm like, okay, well, that could be reality. Now, I don't know if that story is true or not, but Christianity basically is a story of essentially, people disobeying a God, eating a forbidden fruit, and creating sin in the world. That is now why we're sick and people have diseases and people have to have doctors and blah, 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 blah. and redemption through Jesus Christ. That is what Christianity is. I have not explored Islam. I've kind of been, been like, I wonder what Islam's like. I know what Judaism is, and I have no issue with Judaism. But the thing is, there's no religion out there except Christianity that is blasphemous, that will point the finger at you and say you're going to hell. I don't hear Jewish people saying that. I don't hear Muslims saying that. I hear Christians saying that all the time. And they love it because it gives them a pedestal to stand on. And they're actually committing sin when they do that, but they refuse to see their own sin, but they are judging other people. Like my father likes to drink a lot, and that's a sin. And he would always say it's an abomination to be gay. But he doesn't live a godly life whatsoever. So, I mean, who is he to say that? People just cherry-pick Bible verses, if you've heard the word cherry-pick, to suit their agenda and point the finger at yada, 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 yada. And that's just reality, not how it is. And I don't know. I just, again, I'm playing God's advocate. I'm not God. I don't know. I don't know what the future holds. I don't know anything. What I do know is people who come against LGBTQIA people plus can cause them to commit suicide. We see transgender people killing themselves. We see all these people killing themselves. And there's one pastor online that I saw, and I sent it to one of my friends, well, quote unquote friends at the time, who I'm no longer friends with or associate with her. And they said LGBT means let God burn them.
Oh my
And I
God.
about died when I saw that online from a pastor. I'm like, oh my God, are you fucking serious here? Excuse my language.
Those are the churches that need to be on a list for people to protest outside their doors.
Because they're harming people. They're costing people their life. Like, this is what I say have been saying for the past 3 years. Bad theology kills. It costs people their lives every single day in this nation because you can only mentally torment somebody for so long before enough is enough and they want to escape it. Like, it is so atrocious. And for people that, claim to serve a God of love, they're not very good at showing it.
Yes, and people are like, well, you leave a church, it's the people there, not God, who's doing it. Well, perhaps God's behind it. I don't know. I really don't know. What I do know is, why did God allow homosexuality in the first place if it's a sin? Why did God allow that serpent in Eden if it was wrong? Why did God allow this, allow that? He just sits up there and allows things. Allow, 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 allow. Deny, 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 deny. But in the New Testament, you never hear Jesus talking about homosexuality, which I find interesting.
No.
Well,
He
because he did
actually.
go in the desert with 12 of his disciples.
But not just that, Jesus obliterated gender binaries by saying there's no male or female, for we are all one in Christ. Like, to him, gender hierarchies weren't even a problem. So when Christians constantly elevate that man is above women and all this other garbage, they're literally going against what it is that Jesus himself taught. Like, we are equal. And until the church starts treating people like they're equal, we're going to continue to see these problems because they always have to have somebody to subjugate and control. They're not happy unless they're, got their fingers in somebody else's business all the time.
And when we go back to Genesis, right? And we go back to the serpent telling Eve to eat of this tree, right? And you will have knowledge. When you think about it, if we use our Bible verses and go by the Bible, he's the same today, yesterday, and forever. And God knows every hair on my head, and he knows the beginning from the end, and all of these things that we have been taught. I didn't know this until a couple weeks ago when I was on a live doing it, that God knew that the serpent was going to tempt Eve. And God knew that Eve was going to partake of that fruit. And God knew that Adam would give in and also take a partake with her. So he manipulated us from the very beginning. He is the re reason for original sin. And in all honesty, the serpent was the only one who said the truth.
Yes, because God was the one who lied in the garden. And
God
another point
lied.
to that is Adam and Eve had no knowledge of good and evil, right and wrong, before they ate that fruit. So you're telling me that God knew he was going to punish them for doing something they didn't even know the outcome would be. They didn't know the consequences of that. They didn't know that it was bad, right? So that'd be like me punishing my grandchild that's only 18 months old for doing something that he shouldn't do because he doesn't know any better, you know?
And that is to last generations. You discipline your grandchild, but that's not just that child for that
Yeah.
generation. God decided to make it for all eternity.
Exactly. So everybody's a
What
descendant
a
of Adam,
sick
which is,
thought.
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's where it, children and children of children of this have generational curses because of things their ancestors did. And in Pentecostalism, Heather, you have to pray away those curses, those generational
Yes,
curses.
yes,
Alcoholism's a generational
yes,
curse.
yes. We
No,
were taught
sweetheart,
that.
alcoholism is a genetic
Yep,
disease.
I was actually taught that too. I was taught about the generational curses and that we had to pray them away. And my dad had been an alcoholic back in the day, so I was
Yeah.
always told, "Oh, you better not ever touch alcohol because you'll be picking that curse up," you know. And it was
Yep.
like, just because he was an alcoholic doesn't mean I'm going to be one, okay? Not everybody is an alcoholic, you know, but that was just part of the fear mongering, you know. And they would
And
even make
using.
up generational curses. Like they would make shit up sometimes. Like, oh, your
Oh,
grandmother has
yeah.
a problem where she gossips all the time. Oh, that's a generational curse too. It's like, what? She just gossips. She needs to shut her damn
I
mouth.
was reading the Bible, and the longest generational curse that I could find was for 10 generations. But Eve eating a fruit of knowledge was for the rest of her life, for the rest of eternity.
Yeah.
It's just mind-blowing to me when they were like, "Oh, the sins of your father. I've not
Well,
committed any sins of my father, but my
yeah.
father's going to heaven as far as West Palm Beach, Florida c is concerned, and I desecrate holy ground. And I
There's
live a much
just,
better life." It just blows my mind, you guys.
it does too to me, and it really agitates me that the amount of Christians who are quote unquote real Christians who are actually fake Christians just go to church on Sunday and then they live like the world 6 days a week and they
Yes.
want to call themselves Christians. If
Yep.
you're going to be a Christian, live like a Christian 7 days a week. If you're going to be an atheist, live like an atheist 7 days a week.
But that's
You
the
know what I
thing.
mean?
We talk about this just about every week when we do this
Every
show.
week.
But we have atheists. T is an atheist. She behaves better than so many of the Christians I used to share a church pew with, right? I know atheists and Satanists that have better moral character than
Yeah.
Christians. And it's because of that. It's because they say one thing with their mouth, but their actions preach a whole different, you know, message. And the hypocrisy of it all is what really gets me, because that hypocrisy causes so much harm to innocent people.
And I said
Yes.
this every week, Hal. I am a better atheist now than I ever was as a Christian. Because as a Christian, I judged. As a Christian, I would pass judgment. As a Christian, I would say, I hate this person. I hate these people. I hate this group. I don't like this group. I was raised a bigot, a racist against LGBTQIA. There are things in my past that I've said and done that is appalling.
Yep.
But those are things I said and done while I was sitting in a high-controlled cult church, and that is what I was taught to say and to repeat. But today, I don't do any of those things. And I live a much more, if I can say in quotes, godlier and holy life than almost every person sitting in a pew today.
Yeah. So, Hal, what has healing looked like for you as an ongoing process?
Well, I've had to have a lot of mental health treatment. I'm currently in mental health treatment, and I'm not scared to say that
That's cool.
because of hearing things that weren't there that related to my TBI. I've had to have medication adjustments. I've had to have therapy. Interestingly, my therapist is a Christian, and we get along because she knows my boundaries.
Yeah.
But I also tell her things that I've been through. And she starts the whole Jesus loves you, and I'm just kind of like, okay, all right, enough. that word just makes my stomach hurt. Things like that of that nature. And healing to me just takes time, right? And you have to cut off all these people. But there's still fears of hell and going to hell have indoctrinated inside of me. And I need to just let that go. But it's so psychologically ingrained in my subconscious mind that it's hard to let go of. And it kind of directs how I think and feel during the day. And I feel shame and guilt if I see a guy that I'm really attracted to who's my age. And that has to do with childhood trauma, and it has to do with adulthood trauma from the church. This spiritual mom of mine, who was so frigging toxic, told me that, "Know how you're not gay," when I told her I was gay. I'm like, "Mary," that's her name, I don't care. There's lots of Marys out there. "Mary, I'm gay. Know how you're not." And she would just continuously say things like that to me.
There was somebody that I know that I went to church with for years, and she came out, to somebody that was in church leadership. And, this minister literally told her, "I know that's not who you are." Like, no, you don't know that, bitch. That's what I'm thinking to myself. Like, you don't know the reality of somebody else and what they're living through and what their lived experience is. So don't you dare trying to speak to them like you know who they are when they have been telling you for months who they are and you have refused to listen every single time. Like, and that's the way it is in church, though, because they're not allowed to affirm your identity. They're not allowed to love you in your queerness. They're not allowed to, comfort those who mourn or rejoice with those who are rejoicing, because we're not allowed to do that if it's a gay wedding, right? We have to boycott that and make a big scene of it instead. But that's not the love of Jesus. That's not what Jesus modeled for us. Jesus would be at the gay weddings. He would be at the transgender bedside when they're getting their surgeries, for God's sakes. He would not be calling them all these horrible names and ostracizing them and saying, "No, I love all these people, but I can't love you."
They
That's
give love a
so
bad
wrong.
name, just like
They
Bon
do.
Jovi. Bon Jovi says, "You give love a bad name," that song. They're
That's
giving Jesus's love a
bad.
bad name.
Yes, absolutely.
Because he would be there turning water into wine.
Absolutely. He was the
The
life of the
Jesus I
party.
know. What did it take for you to trust yourself enough to start questioning or to step away? What
When
was
the
that point?
pastor, a pastor named Elaine, I'm just going to say her first name, she literally called me a demon. And that's when I had enough of it. I'm like, it must be one sexy demon.
Now, I want to ask a question. Did she do it from a pulpit?
Nope, it was over text message. I still have
It
the
was
text
over. Oh
message.
my God, that's atrocious.
Oh,
Jesus. She put it in writing?
yes, and then I commented on her church how bad it was. And then she said he's mentally ill when she said in church that he's spiritually ill and not mentally ill.
Wow.
So she literally went back on what she said and lied just to cover her ass with her church.
I
She
think that
wears these
is
pretty little
crazy.
earrings that look so nice and all these other things. And you think she's a woman of sweetness and niceness when she's nothing more than a, never mind, but awful person. You don't call a
Oh.
person a demon. And then my spiritual mom, who's no longer my spiritual mom, would say, "God told me I'm going to help you. God told me this. God told me that." I don't know if you lovely ladies have heard the God told me stuff.
Yes, oh God, I've had many people give me a word of knowledge.
Did it come to pass?
No. And the last time I got a word of knowledge, it was like this woman was speaking her truth to me, okay, about her own life and what she was dealing with. And I'm like, dude, why are you telling me this shit? This doesn't even apply to me in my life. And then
Right.
it was
And
2 weeks later that the
right.
scandal broke, and I was like, oh, you were talking about yourself.
Or how about this? My pastor played the organ, right? And he was like, duh, 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 duh. And then he started speaking in tongues. And then he fell off the back of the organ. And then he grabbed the microphone and he said, as he was speaking in tongues, now he's doing the tongues and interpretation. And his tongues interpretation was, "Thus I say unto you, you will be a prostitute, you will be a drug addict, you will be an alcoholic, your children will not amount to anything." And he went down a list of atrocities that I still replay in my brain over and over and over. And it was to me. And I'm like, why would a God want that much evil to become of me when I've not done anything but speak out against the domestic violence abuse that I'm receiving inside this church? Why isn't he having tongues and interpretation for my abuser that's sitting on the front row?
Yeah.
It just blows my mind when they go into their tongues and interpretation and saying, "Thus saith the word of God, you are going to forever be a prostitute and a whore." Oh
Oh
my
my God.
gosh.
Literally,
Wow.
they didn't have interpretation at my church. It was just, it was literally that with just people just walking back and forth, totally tongue rollers. And you didn't even have interpretation. And it was gibberish. And Paul, in the letter to Corinth, I believe it was in the book of Corinthians, he even spoke against that. So here they
Yes.
are violating their word, then saying that God is speaking to them when
Yes.
God can't be around sin, so they're sinning, but they're saying God's speaking to them. And then they're going to call me blasphemous and blaspheming the Holy Spirit, which I've actually done, actually. But I don't really care anymore. I don't give a damn.
Me.
I wanted the Holy Spirit so badly, and the Holy Spirit never came upon me and never helped me. So whatever, I don't give a damn
Wait a minute, how did you say holy tongue rollers?
I
Snap on
did.
that.
Yeah, oh, I see cancer disappearing, and I'm being sensitive to people with cancer. Oh, I see cancer. And see, here's another thing, is these miraculous healings that happen, they say, oh, you're healed of cancer, then the person doesn't go back to chemo, and then they die.
Yes. My mother-in-law, she claimed that she was healed of cancer. Okay. And
Right.
she had really bad ovarian cancer. And, she went through really extreme chemo treatments and stuff like
Right.
that. And her numbers got down really low, like to like a normal person. And they're like, okay, your cancer's gone. And then about 2 years later, she went back to the doctor for a checkup and they said it's back and it's worse. And you're basically going to die. And then I'm like, how do you sit with that? Because you've been telling the whole world that you've been healed for the past 2 years. And now here you are, you're getting ready to die of cancer. Because God didn't heal you. He didn't take your sickness from you. And that for me was just another confirmation that, believing in that is a waste of time and energy because God isn't doing those things. Doctors are healing people. Modern medicine is healing people.
Exactly.
That is the miracles of Jesus today. And we need to be honest about that because when you have a heart attack, you're not going to God in prayer. You're calling a friggin' ambulance. You're not going to God when you're having a heart attack. You're going to an
You
ambulance.
ever heard the quote where they say you're out in the ocean, right? And you're on a boat, and the person prays for God to send somebody to help them.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yes. And then they send like a life raft and then they send a small boat. And they're like, oh, but I'm just going to wait. Maybe that boat isn't the right boat. And then they ask God, well, where were you? And God's like, well, I sent you a life raft. I sent you this boat. I sent you that boat. And
Exactly.
you didn't get on any of them. You had all these ways to bail you out. But because it doesn't show up in the way that you think it did or it should, you're not willing to accept it.
Right.
One of the easiest things for me when I was deconstructing, and now I just feel like I've deconstructed, and I'm a full atheist, right? Is
Right.
that is the quote that I was taught that God helps those who help themselves.
Yeah.
And I realized that God was never intervening and helping me. I
Yeah.
was doing everything by myself.
Yes.
When that dawned on me that I wasn't to give God any glory for delivering me, for saving me, for rescuing me, the person who was always there to save and rescue me was me.
Yeah. It's like I saw online the other day where somebody had received their doctorate and they're online praising God. Thank you, Jesus, for getting me through and seeing me through this. And I'm like, Jesus didn't do shit. You busted your ass. You sacrificed your time with your friends. You put in all that work and all those hours studying to achieve that goal. And now here you are giving an idle god credit for all the work that you did. Why? Why would you do that? Like, you are allowed to take credit for the things that you have achieved. But the church doesn't like you to do that because we're not supposed
Listen,
to
we all
praise
know
ourselves.
that research papers are done on coffee and extra, things that keep you awake all night just to keep you typing, like, well, I got to get this done. I'm sorry. God didn't come down and fill my coffee cup. I went in there and did it myself. Right, Hal?
That's right.
So, Hal, when you look back, what do you understand now that you didn't understand before?
I understand that mental illness is very real and it's not caused by demonic spirits. I understand that homosexuality is genetic. It's not caused by demonic spirits, unlike what the church says. And I also understand that religious indoctrination can push people away because it makes people uncomfortable. And I may not have the friends that I had ever again because of that damn video. But I also understand that forgiveness is a thing. So I have to forgive those church people. But it doesn't mean that I want to. That I'll ever forget what they did. Because if I forget what they did, then that means I'm going to go back to it again. And I'm not going back to that ever again.
And for our viewers, because we talked about the video, would you mind sharing with us that experience of that video if you would like to?
Absolutely. So I was at, and I don't really care, her name was Maddie Nottage. She was doing a ministry video, and I was manifesting what I thought were spirits that could have been demons. I have no idea what they were. And she had me on the floor and she was talking to the spirits and she cast the demons out or whatever. But she put it publicly on her YouTube. And I was like, Heather's, was it your mother, Heather, or was it your grandmother that said she was healed?
My mother-in-law.
Your mother-in-law. I was like Heather's mother-in-law in the fact that I thought I was healed of bipolar illness. So I shared it with one person at the school I was at, and that person was not a friend, and they shared it around the whole school. It went to the dean, and it embarrassed the hell out of me.
Wow. So they exploited your suffering and trauma for clicks and views. That is so
Yeah,
messed
and
up.
even the students should be ashamed of themselves for doing that.
I am so
Absolutely.
sorry.
It's okay.
So am I. I mean, it's okay, when you look back and you see those different things that happen, right? What does that do to your sense of community that you felt so connected to? Then the loss of that community and now retrying to reconnect with community. How is that journey with you?
Keep religious things to yourself. And that's what I say to the viewer is to keep religious things to yourself. And also, if you have mental health issues, these ministries can worsen it. I think they prey on people with mental health issues, personality disorders, mood disorders, anxiety disorders, everything like that. One of the people, and I'm not gonna be ugly about her. For the self fact she was never ugly to me, but she had this theology that you need to divorce your medications. Say, in the name of Jesus, I
Yes.
divorce Vyvanse. In the name of Jesus, I divorce clonazepam. I don't know if you have heard of those medicines before, but those are very
Yes.
popular
Yes.
medicines. I had to be on lorazepam for a while to get all to deal with the trauma of all this
Yeah.
stuff so I could sleep to calm my nerves down.
Yeah.
My doctor had me on Ativan. So, I mean, it was horrific. And then they were saying pharmakeia's pharmaceuticals. And here I am at medical
Wow.
school thinking, oh God, is this medical, is medicine evil? And I'm like,
Yeah.
no, it's not. It's the complete opposite of that. And just because it has a serpent on it, God has serpents. It says in the
Yes.
Bible, God has serpents. So,
Yes.
you know what I mean? You can kindle it that way if you want to. So I don't think pharmaceuticals are evil. I think, medicines like benzodiazepines can be evil because they're highly addictive.
Yeah.
But if you take them as prescribed, that's different. But if you abuse them, they can really, really mess up your life. I've seen that firsthand with a lot of people. But
Yeah.
yeah, but I'm not a doctor. I can't give medical advice. But yeah.
And many people that have been raised in high controlled religions or charismatic movements or groups have been taught that if you're sick, you have sinned.
Exactly. But they don't understand that's just the nature of the flesh.
Yes. And if you're sick, you're out of the will of God. Like, there's so many things that they taught us that were so messed up, you know, and things that would keep us from getting the help that we need when they are literally demonizing medications that keep people alive, you know, that is so dangerous. Like, and I've said it on this show before, but I had a pastor that literally told me to stop taking my antidepressants because they weren't from God. They were
Are they a
evil.
doctor?
I was coming into agreement with the enemy by taking that medication. Like, what? No. And no, she's not a doctor. She's a dumbass, is what she was. I'll just be honest with it because she was just some dumbass Southern woman that didn't know any better. And she was just repeating what it is that she had been taught. Okay, I believe this. I don't believe she meant it maliciously. She truly believed this stuff. But that's the problem. They are holding beliefs that are costing people their lives, and they don't care who they share this crap with. They don't care what their stance is on people getting help. And then those are the same people that will demonize mental health and say that they, you know, there's so many people that need help. Well, of course, there are so many people that need help. Y'all are freaking traumatizing people every daggum time your church doors open. What
And
do you
we weren't
expect?
allowed, and we were not allowed to seek outside mental health help
I wasn't
because
either.
we were told and raised that that was going to Egypt for help, and you cannot get help in the land of Egypt, which Egypt translates to being the world outside the church house that I was in. That if you had anything that needed to be taken care of, it was at the altar with your other prayer warriors praying it out of you. So. Yeah.
That's so messed up. Because
So
you can't
messed
go
up.
to the place that made you sick to expect to find healing.
Exactly. That is such the truth. If someone is listening and questioning their faith and their environment, Hal, what would you want them to know without telling them what to believe?
Listen to your inner voice. Do your research. Join Reddit groups. Talk about it anonymously and see what other people have to say. Don't let others dictate your life. Don't let your emotions get under control of other people. Learn to control your emotions and don't let your emotions control you. Because emotions can be deceptive.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Because it takes out the critical thinking and the portion of your brain that actually will think through logical thoughts. When you run strictly on emotions, you're not logically thinking and you're not critically thinking a situation. So it is always a
And the
positive
church
to have
discourages
that back.
critical thinking. Have you ever heard the term anti-intellectualism? Yes, the church is like, go on faith, don't think about it, you're too intellectual. I heard people tell me that, you're too intellectual, you can't receive from God.
You
You
ask
ask
too
too
many
many questions,
questions.
snaps
I do ask a lot of
too
questions.
many questions.
I do ask a lot of questions, but I'm just very intellectual. That's just how I am, so.
Saying
Oh,
you
go ahead.
should ask questions. You should be curious. There should
Yes.
not be a rule in anyone's life that cannot be challenged.
Yep.
Period. Challenge
Right.
that and be curious.
Ask a lot of questions. Question everything.
Right.
So, Hal, what does living honestly and fully mean to you now?
Living with a set of morals and values that you identify with and standing firm with them and not letting other people change them. Not being a people pleaser, but being a self pleaser. Living f for others in a way that is helping other people. Learning to tolerate other beliefs, but not necessarily engaging with that and being firm in what you believe in. And putting up walls of protection around you that you can visualize, just protection barriers around you to keep you safe. Those type of things.
Yeah.
And what do you hope with someone listening, especially someone who feels all alone and have walked the path that so many of us have walked after leaving what we believed was truth in our foundation? What would you like them to take from your story?
Well, just understand, guys, that I was bullied. I had a TBI. I had five disc herniations. I was hearing things that weren't there. And then I lost all my friends. I lost everything. And now my life is getting rebuilt again from scratch. Is that don't ever use unhealthy things as coping strategies to leave the denomination. Learn that it's okay to grieve leaving your church, and that is a normal process.
Yes.
But don't use alcohol or drugs as an excuse that the church hurt you, to use it as a way to leave. I was in a massive cocaine addiction after I left the church, and I'm clean almost 200 days.
Congratulations. That's
Yes, almost
exciting.
200 days.
Every day
And
counts.
it does. But I did it daily for over a year, and I lost a lot of things. And if you're struggling leaving the church and you want to go use drugs or drink, do not do it. Do not do it, because it only just will block your healing process.
Yes, because all it does is it keeps you from healing, right? It numbs for a little bit, but you're not facing the healing that you need. So whenever you decide to stop doing those drugs, the healing is still waiting for you because you still got to
Exactly.
walk through it. That's the hardest part about healing is you have to walk through it, every bit of it. And it's not easy to heal. And it's even harder to heal from things that you never had a hand in breaking in the first place, especially when you were broken by the people that you were taught were the safest place and people on earth, right? So,
Preach.
yeah, it makes it really challenging. It really does.
Yeah. And
But
for
how?
those of us who do avoidance, we
Yeah.
eventually can't avoid any longer.
Yep.
And then we still have to go through it.
Yep. So, Hal, thank you so much for coming onto our show today and trusting us with your story and for the honesty that you have
Absolutely.
shared. We are so grateful to have you here with us today. Your story is incredible. It's powerful. And I really hope that, this really encourages our listeners that may be struggling with some of the same things, that may have experienced the same type of rejection. Being an LGBTQIA plus person in religious spaces is life-threatening. It really is. And I am so proud of you for escaping and becoming the beautiful human that you are.
And your voice matters. And we're grateful that you brought your story to our space. And as you're thinking about what you've said, is there anything else that you would like to share, as we're winding down the interview today?
At the end of the day, you sleep and you get up and you have a productive day, right? And who you believe in or what you believe in as your higher power is your business. It's not between me, you, and your higher power. It's between you and your higher power.
Spirituality is a personal journey. Hallelujah.
Yes.
And you don't have to share it with anybody if you don't want to.
Yes, if you want to believe in Yahweh and Allah and Buddha as your savior, the way to heaven, then go for it.
Yep.
I don't really care what you believe in, as long as you don't believe in hurting people or child hurting child children or things like that.
Yes.
As long as you have good morals, that's really what matters to me.
Exactly. And if you're spiritual, you're pagan, you're Norse, you're satanic, you're Luciferian, all of those things are journeys that a lot of us have been curious about or have explored
Yes.
along our journey. And it's just as important for you to know that it is absolutely okay to go somewhere else. And the other thing is if you're a Christian, but you deconstruct just from your childhood, the Christianity of your childhood, and you still maintain your Christian beliefs, that's perfectly okay as
Yes.
well. Do no harm and be no harm is extremely important. And as long as those are things that you're living by, of being kind to other people and living Christ-like, it's not my business. And I hope each of those who have deconstructed to wherever they are on their journey are that they're finding peace and happiness on
Yes.
their new journey that they're walking today.
Because
And
all journeys are
Hal,
valid. All journeys
all
are
journeys.
valid. It doesn't matter what it looks like, what path you're on, what works for you. And I've said this before, spirituality is such a personal journey because what works for one person may not bring peace to another person. So whatever it is that you choose to put together and what is meaningful to you is what's most important. It really is.
And that's what I want to emphasize, is always go with a path that brings you peace,
Peace.
not
Yes.
anxiety.
Yes. Yes.
And yeah, go ahead.
And you're not broken. You're not behind. You're not alone. In this space, how we just want you to know whenever you reach out to us that you are 100% accepted. And we appreciate your story and with you being with us today.
Thank you so much.
And to our listeners, if you guys enjoyed this week's episode, we just want to say we are so grateful for you guys being back with us again this week. Please hit that subscribe button so you never miss a show. We drop a new episode every single Wednesday. And if you're ever interested in being a guest and want to share your deconstruction story, send us an email at theawakeningpod@gmail.com. Thank you guys so much.
And how? Give us the last word out for the day.
Peace be with you.
Beautiful.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you. I'm going to thank you. Bye bye.
The preceding podcast is solely owned by its host or hosts and is distributed by Big Media LLC. Copyright 2025, all rights reserved.